All right, folks, this is something that I have a lot of experience with, and I see other people doing this either successfully or not successfully, and that is doing live videos or doing podcasts where there's an interview where you're either pre-planning your questions or you're winging it and going 100% conversational, okay? Now, I've got strong opinions on this, the pre-plan versus winging it, whether it's podcasting or live. That's one of the things I like about the show is we can talk about strategy when it comes to broadcasting. And yeah, it's a live video show. And yes, sometimes live video is different than podcasting. But when it comes to things like just doing an interview, it really applies to both. So let's saddle up and dig into this.
You are listening to Entrepreneur Live Video with Todd.Live, broadcasting from sunny Southern California. This is the place where the most talented online live video personalities and marketers share what works for them as live video becomes the most effective megaphone to the world man has ever known. Without further ado, here is your host, Todd.Live.
All right. So here's the thing. We talked some about interviewing yesterday. You should listen to that one if you haven't yet. But when you decide to become a broadcaster, one of the first things that you're going to think about, particularly podcasting more than live, is do you do an interview show or do you do it solo? Live video, I think more of us tend to just, okay, we're going to go solo first. And as we grow and figure things out, maybe we'll have people come on later. Because when you have people come on in a live video, the technology, you know, there's different challenges. And so it's easier to start out solo because you can start out solo with just your cell phone, point it at yourself and go live. Where with podcasting, on the other hand, yeah, there's a little bit of technology that needs to be done in order to bring a guest on, but it's not hard. It's not as difficult as doing live video necessarily. And I think people think about it differently. I think when people think of audio and with podcasting, they think, oh, I think the natural thing for people when they think they're going to do a podcast is I'm going to do an hour long show once a week. That's kind of like the default format, hour long show once a week. And then the second question is interview or solo. And most people that are new and have never broadcasted before are immediately going to say interview because it takes the focus off of them 100%. If you go solo, you are truly on your own with your message trying to carry an hour. And for somebody who's new at broadcasting, that's tough. So it's easier to say, okay, I'm going to bring somebody on. We're going to do interview and that'll take a lot of the work off me and it'll, you know, I'll highlight other people. It'll be great. It's a trade. I'm bringing them on my show. I'm highlighting them. They're getting exposure for free. It's the cost of their time. That's it. But they get to come on and talk about them for an hour. Who doesn't like to do that? To come on and talk about themselves. Everybody loves to come on your show and talk about themselves. But then as you start to develop and you've decided whether you're live doing live video or whether you're podcasting, excuse me, the next thing you're going to think about is what's the discussion going to be about? And then you start going into the pre-planned topics, or are you going to wing it? Okay. Now, we talked a little bit yesterday about when I got started as a podcaster and well, just a broadcaster in general on the internet. And I did the same thing. I did interview topics or interview format right off the bat because I didn't know what I was doing. I needed a way to cut my teeth on this. And so the interview show made sense. And I didn't necessarily have pre-planned topics. But I had, I guess it, you could call it that. I had pre-planned questions. Okay. So when I would prepare for a guest to come on, I would go find their LinkedIn, their Facebook, their webpage, read the about page on their webpage. I would find them on Instagram. I would try to find things about them that were interesting to talk about. And I would like to find some surprises, some things that were in their history that maybe they wouldn't think would become a point of discussion that were fun, that were relevant. That always works really well. People love when you're interviewing them to be surprised a little bit. I mean, a lot of the discussions you're going to have with people, I mean, let's say you have Brian Fanzo come on. I did have Brian Fanzo come on as a guest on the Divorce the Workforce podcast, and he was great, okay? And he does a lot of onstage talks. He's a main stage speaker, and he does a lot of podcasts. He does a lot of live videos. He gets invited to do tons of stuff. And I'm sure he gets tired probably of getting the same questions all the time. He probably actually doesn't get tired of it. I don't want to frame it that way. And honestly, I'm just speculating here. Brian has never told me that he gets tired of questions. I'm just speculating that when you're doing something, let's say that you're Brian Fanzo, you're Roberto Blake, you get the same questions over and over and over. And, you know, like, how do you grow on YouTube, Roberto? How do you grow on YouTube? How do you get your first 1,000 followers? And, you know, the one thing that's good about getting the same question over and over again is that you can really refine your answer and make it fabulous for people. On the other hand, it can, I would imagine, get kind of boring. So I think that when you have somebody come on your show, especially somebody whose dance card is always filled up with great opportunities, they're talking to everybody and they're all over the place, is to try to find something unique to talk to them about from their history, from their business. Boy, that really mixes things up nicely. So that's how I would do it. I would do pre-planned questions, pre-planned topics, that sort of thing. Now, here's where you can get yourself in trouble with that. And here's why I don't like it. One, the conversation doesn't flow when you have it pre-planned. Like, let's say I have Brian Fanzo on and I've got 12 questions. I'm going to kind of stick to my 12 questions, at least when I'm new, right? Because I'm scared to kind of go off that. If I go off that, then I might lose myself and lose my audience and lose my guest. It's tricky when you're new because you really don't know. But the audience can tell that you have your questions, especially if you say, all right, let's go to my next question. Okay. And we tend to do that. That tells everybody that we've got a list of questions. So it's not as natural of a conversation when it's like every other 3 or 4 minutes you're going on to your next question. A lot of the times when you're thinking about your next question, you're not really listening to the answer of the first question. You're thinking about how you're going to make an impact with the next question, when you're going to be able to introduce it. You're paying attention to the time. You want to get through all 12 of your questions within an hour. That means you got 5 minutes per question, so you're worried about that. It can be a real problem for you. And what happens when you're not listening to the answer of the question, the question before, and you're thinking about your next question and when you're going to get it in, when there's going to be a break for you to get it in? Because a lot of the times you'll ask a question, like let's say you're on question number 3, and Brian, you know, I say to Brian, whatever the question is, and he decides he's going to talk about it for 7 or 10 minutes, and I can barely get a word in. Well, if that, and I'm trying to squeeze in all these questions, now it's going to screw up being an hour format. So I start worrying about that. This is what happens when you're a newbie, right? When you get a little more sophisticated with this, you're not going to worry so much. If you end up not asking all 12 questions, who the hell cares? But when you're new at it, you worry about these things. And so you start thinking about other things and you're not really listening to the question. Well, what if during the question, this is totally made up, but let's say that in Brian Fanzo's life, Brian was, you know, he lives in Pennsylvania, I think. And let's say that he's in Pennsylvania and let's say his mom and dad and brother, his family history is his mom and dad and brothers and sisters were wiped out in a plane crash 10 years prior to this interview. He's over it, but it's part of his life, right? And I ask a question about something about his family life, and he mentions the fact that these people were wiped out 10 years prior to the conversation. And then that's question number 3, number 4, whatever. And then in question number 7, I ask him a question about his mom and dad. You know, does he still see his mom and dad? Do they still have an impact on his life? But I wasn't really listening to the answer of his, to the question at question number 3 or 4. So when I, you know, and I'm thinking about my questions, I'm thinking about the timing and I'm all hung up on all this stuff, I'm not really listening to Brian's answers. And I miss that. And I get to question number 7. I'm like, so Brian, how does your mom and dad, how do they still impact your life today? Well, he's already told me they died in a plane crash 10 years ago. Now, this is totally made up. This is not true about Brian's family. This, I don't want you to run to Brian and say, God, Brian, I didn't realize. Or Todd's talking, you know, he said your family. No, I'm using this as an example. We were talking about Brian as an interviewee, as a guest. And if that was his history, now you've just made a major screw up. You've told Brian you weren't listening to him before. That's a huge thing to miss. Oh, my family, I lost my family in a plane crash 10 years ago. And then four questions later, you ask about his mom and dad, who he already has told you were wiped out in a plane crash. You weren't listening to your guest. You've just told Brian that. You've just told your audience that. And you've just made yourself look like a total jerk and a fool. So it doesn't even have to be something that big. It could be something small. Like Brian could say something like, oh, I really don't like podcasting anymore. And then in question seven, you're like, yeah, I know your love for podcasting. Where are you going to take it now? You know, it could be something small. It could be something big. It doesn't matter what it is. It's the fact that you missed it. That's what happens with pre-planned. I don't know why I have a problem with that word. Pre-planned topics or questions. That's the problem. Is that you're so focused on squeezing in content. You're so focused on getting to the next question. You're so focused that you don't really, and you can even be focused on trying to make sure, like what happens? You have these questions. This is another problem. You have these 12 questions. Well, three of them might get answered in question number one. If you're going to go by the numbers, are you going to ask those questions again? So when you see what happens when you have a lot of pre-planned questions and topics, you end up creating a real problem for yourself. It doesn't matter if you're live or podcasting. You can create a real problem for yourself. So usually if I'm going to have any sort of pre-planned anything, I like to keep the numbers low, like four or five questions at the most. And one of my best tips I can give you as an interviewer is listen intently to your guest. I mean, your focus needs to be on your guest and what they're saying, and you need to be thinking about what they're saying. Listening, processing, looking for nuggets of information while you're listening to what they say. These nuggets of information are going to tell you if questions that you've thought of for later are now moot, not mute, moot, M-O-O-T. You're going to be listening to see if there's things in these answers to previous questions or previous conversation that you've not thought of that are interesting to talk about and explore further. That's where we get into the winging it portion. And gosh, we're 12 minutes in and we're talking about winging it finally. I should make that tomorrow's conversation, but we're going to do it really quickly. Winging it, having a few main points that you want to hit. And aside from that, you're winging it. You don't care what order you take these main points as long as you squeeze them in as best you can. You take the conversation where you go and you make that conversation with Brian B as though two guys are sitting in a bar having a sandwich with a microphone and just winging, having a little bit of fun and having a chat. That, folks, takes a little time getting there as a broadcaster because it's not natural to a lot of us. We think, okay, we got the microphone in front of our face. We're recording this for an audience that includes possibly the entire world. Anybody that discovers our podcast, we want it to be good so bad. We want it to be good. We want it to be good. It just is killing us. And we think we need to build it up into something that it doesn't need to be. The winging it formula works, but you've really got to listen and you've really got to be dynamic. You've got to be able to be conversational and not rigid and tight and nervous. And I get it. I mean, most people are going to start. And if you listen to my old Divorce the Workforces, you're probably going to hear a lot of what I'm talking about, where you fall into the trap of the questions. And I think I did pretty good with it, actually, if I can say so myself. But I mean, I need to go back and listen to them myself. I probably think, my goodness, how far you've come. But folks, I want you to crush it if you're doing interviews and hosting lives or doing podcasts with an interview, and move as quickly as you can from the rigid, structured situation and more into conversational and having some fun and having a laugh and realizing that at the end of the day, none of it matters.
Thanks so much for listening to Entrepreneur Live Video with Todd.Live. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit www.todd.live and on facebook.com/todd.livepage. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave a review and subscribe. And we'll catch you next time on Entrepreneur Live Video with Todd.Live.